Welcome to Storytime. This is Aunt Dee. I'm so glad you chose to join us today. Yes, Captain Naaman. No, Captain Naaman. Right away, Captain. All the servants would have scurried here and there when Captain Naaman came home from a battle. You see, he was the captain over the entire army of the king of Syria. Let's read about him right from 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman was a great man with his master, the king, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance to Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, that means courage. But one day the servants were whispering, psst, psst, here and there, psst, 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 psst. And there were doctors coming and going from the wealthy home of Captain Naaman. What was wrong? Perhaps the little servant girl from Israel didn't know at first, but then she heard the dreadful news. Captain Naaman had leprosy. Oh, no, she thought, not leprosy. Leprosy was a terrible skin disease that caused a slow and painful death. The little girl knew that even though Naaman was a very important and wealthy man, none of those things could cure the disease of leprosy. In her country of Israel, the little girl knew that anyone who had the disease of leprosy would have to be separated from their loved ones. They could no longer live in their home with their family, their children, but they were separated and made to live apart. If anyone came near them, the law said they had to cover their mouth and cry, unclean, so people would be warned to stay away. Naaman's leprosy reminds me of the terrible problem that you and I have. In fact, we were born with it. That problem is sin. God, who is perfectly pure and holy, says that sin causes us to be unclean in his sight. Sin is anything that breaks God's laws, like saying angry words or being lazy to do our work, or even just thinking bad thoughts. In Psalm 53:2-3, we read that God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy or unclean. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That means God sees everyone as sinners, as unclean. And remember that leprosy caused separation from loved ones and home? God says the terrible punishment of sin is a forever separation from him and from his beautiful home in heaven. Can you see how Naaman's leprosy reminds us of our sin? The little maid from Israel could have been glad that Naaman had leprosy. After all, he was the one who had led the armies that had taken her captive from her country of Israel. She could have said, that's what Naaman deserves for treating the people of Israel so badly. Instead, the little girl felt compassion, and she wanted to help. She went to her mistress, who was Captain Naaman's wife, and said, if only my master would go to Samaria and Israel and see God's prophet there, I know he could cure Naaman's leprosy. How could this little girl be so sure? Oh, no doubt she'd heard much about this prophet of God whose name was Elisha. She knew that the true and living God had given Elisha power to do many miracles, like raising a dead child to life. She could tell what she knew. Telling others what we know about Jesus is called witnessing. Do you think it was easy for this little girl to be a witness in an enemy country, among people who worshipped idol gods, who had been cruel to her and perhaps to her family? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, God wants you to be a witness for him, even in hard places. A witness for Jesus tells others how they can also come to believe on Jesus. Let's say our Bible verse, Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, where would it be easy to be a witness? Maybe at home, if your parents know Jesus, with your Christian friends. But can you think of some places where it might be hard to witness? It was probably not easy for the little servant girl from Israel to be a witness for the true and living God in a home where people worshiped idols, in a country that was an enemy to her country. As soon as that little girl told Naaman's wife about the prophet in Samaria, someone went and told the king. The king wasted no time in writing a letter to the king of Israel and sending Naaman over there with gifts of gold and silver and rich clothing. Soon Naaman was in his chariot and on his way. Arriving with his servants and gifts in a chariot, the proud captain probably created quite a stir in the palace of the king of Israel. What really upset the king, however, was the letter from the king of Syria. Now, let's you and I just peek over the king's shoulder and read that letter. "I am sending Captain Naaman to you, O king, that you may cure him of his leprosy." The king of Israel read that and he exploded. The Bible tells us that he tore his royal robes and said, "Am I God? To kill and to make alive? Why does this king send to me to cure this man's leprosy? See now, he's just trying to start a quarrel with me." But the king did not have to worry long, for Elisha, the prophet of God, heard about this important visitor to the palace. Elisha sent a messenger to the king and said, "Send Naaman to me." And 2 Kings 5:9 says, "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha." Naaman was probably full of pride and impatience as he waited for Elisha to come out. Imagine his surprise when a lowly servant came out and didn't seem impressed with his captain at all. He just said simply, "Go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, and you will be clean from your leprosy." And he probably went right in and closed the door. Does that sound easy, though? I mean, how much would a cure like this cost Naaman? But the Bible says Naaman was so angry, he turned away in a rage. "Oh," he said, "I thought the prophet would come out and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over me and recover me. Aren't the rivers of Syria much better than this muddy Jordan River in Israel? Couldn't I just wash in them and be clean?" Naaman was turning to go back to Syria, still dying of his leprosy, because he wanted to be cured his way, not God's way. But his servants came up gently to plead with their proud master. "Sir, if the prophet had asked you to do some hard, expensive thing, wouldn't you have done it? How much rather than something so easy, so free? Just wash and be clean." Perhaps Naaman had to calm down and think a minute. While he does, let's you and I think too. Remember that we said leprosy is a lot like sin? Just as God had one way for Naaman to be clean from his leprosy, even so God has made one way for us to be clean from our sins. That one way was through the suffering and death of one person, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's perfect Son. Revelation 1:5 says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Jesus came down to earth and willingly allowed his enemies to nail his hands and feet to a cross. They thought they were killing Jesus to get rid of him. Jesus knew he was giving his life to save us from the punishment of sin. He died, was buried, came alive in 3 days, and now the Lord Jesus is in heaven again with his Father. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." That's God's one way for you to be made clean from your sin. We cannot be made clean our way. And Naaman could not be made clean his way. As he put aside his pride and thought about it, he realized his servants were right. Naaman humbled himself, and he went to that Jordan River. Did you know, boys and girls, if you went over to the Middle East today to the land of Israel, you could also see that same Jordan River? And probably it would be muddy. It's not really the kind of water you'd want to take a bath in. But in stepped Captain Naaman. Well, let's you and I just dip down now with Naaman. One time, two times, three times, four. Oh, perhaps Naaman's skin still didn't look any different. But God didn't say four, did he? He said seven. Well, let's go down with Naaman again. And again. And again. Seven times. Up from the water, Naaman came that seventh time, and look at him! The Bible says, Naaman's skin became again like a little child's, so smooth and young, and he was clean, completely clean from his leprosy. Oh, I'm sure there were many joyful shouts from Naaman and his servants as they helped him out of the water. Quickly, Naaman and his servants returned to Elisha's house. This time, the prophet himself came out. Naaman said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel." And he said that right in front of all his servants. Naaman realized that the gods of Syria were nothing but idols. They hadn't been able to help him. The God of Israel was the true and living God. That's the same true and living God who made the world and all things. He's the same God who made you and loves you so much. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins." God loves you and he wants to make you clean from your sin so you can live with him in his wonderful home in heaven someday. His love for you is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the true and living God. And Naaman was declaring that very thing right in front of all his servants and to Elisha. What was he being, boys and girls? He was being a witness. If you know the Lord Jesus, God wants you to be a witness. Then Naaman began to bring out all the gifts from the king of Syria. He was so glad to be able to give them all to Elisha, but to his surprise, Elisha would not take even one piece of silver. Nothing. Naaman insisted, but Elisha still refused. Why do you think Elisha refused to take those gifts? Well, probably because Elisha knew God had done the miracle, and only God should have the glory and thanks. Naaman returned to the land of Syria. Can you just hear the shouts of joy and see the happy tears of Captain Naaman's wife and family? How do you think the little maid from Israel felt? Now there were two witnesses in that home, both telling what they knew about the true and living God. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior from sin, will you be his witness even in hard places? Pray, asking God to help you tell others how they can be made clean from their sin. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus and asked him to make you clean from your sin, remember God's word says there is only one way. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." God says our sin causes us to face the terrible punishment of being separated from him forever. But Jesus died to save you from that punishment. Are you ready now? Jesus is ready. He's alive in heaven and ready to save you. Believing on the Lord Jesus means A, we admit to him we've sinned. B, we believe that he died as the perfect Son of God for our sin. And C, we call on the Lord Jesus in prayer, asking him to save us and make us clean from our sin. Would you bow your head and close your eyes right now? If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus, that you might be saved and you want to do that, would you pray this prayer and mean it with all your heart? Jesus is listening. Dear Lord Jesus, I admit that I have sinned. I realize my sin makes me unclean in the eyes of God. But I believe that you are the perfect Son of God. You never sinned. And yet because you loved me, you died and gave your precious blood to pay for my sin. Please come into my life right now, Lord Jesus. Save me and make me clean from my sin. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's all for story time today, boys and girls. But don't forget to join us next time. And why not take time today to send Aunt Dee a note at goodfriend.com.